We're getting close on Sunday night to finishing the first 164 pages. We're not going to finish the vision for you tonight because there's too much information in these remaining pages. I'm going to divide into two meetings, and I was trying to figure out when I started over again on the Sunday night, and I don't want to look because I think it's taken us quite a while to go through the book this time, but I think it's our ninth time through the book. I think it's about a year and a half or more. For those who are new, we have a site, experiencethebigbook.org. I have 74 thoughts. I just put one out on what is Recovery from Alcoholism Part 1, and I'm going through that. We have thoughts on the steps. For those who are interested in the four step and relationships, I posted on Thursday the instructions for step four sex inventory. And so if you're interested in those pages, which are very powerful, it's on the site. Tonight we're on a vision for you. I always get emotional when I read these last few pages, because it's a reminder of where I came from, where I am today, just like when we celebrate birthdays. And we are on page 159. And the first 164 pages are considered the instructions on how to recover from alcoholism. And this chapter is a vision for you, but it's really a vision of what they had. And remember, it says, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you'll follow certain steps. So it's a vision for what they had as a vision for me today. And it's interesting, this was written in 1939, and things have changed in AA, but the vision for how it's affected me hasn't changed from what they had. And we ended up with, we've covered how Bill W. met Dr. Bob, then what happened with Dr. Bob. So AA was started in 1935. Then we covered AA number 3, Bill Dodson, whose picture's up on the wall and in many of the AA rooms around the world. And then they, on page 159, they talk about a year and 6 months later, so it's 1937, they had 10 people. So they had the first three members and seven more after 18 months. So if you think it's hard when you're sponsoring to get people to stay, think about that. But they were very happy with that. And then by the next year, they had 60 or so, and they decided to write the book. And it says, a year and 6 months later, these three had succeeded with seven more. Seeing much of each other, now remember, it's 1936 or so. There's no TV, there's no Twitter, there's no phones. People didn't have phones in their houses, most people. It was a different world, no TV. Everything was on the radio, neighborhoods. People didn't fly. It was a different world. And the Depression was still in our country. We had not recovered yet. So a lot of people were still out of work. Money was tight. A lot of unemployment. So they saw a lot of each other. They were in the neighborhood. They were and scarce an evening passed that someone's home did not shelter a little gathering of men and women happy in their release. So the families came. There weren't any women members at that time. They got one woman member right before the book was published, so they changed it to 100 men and women. And we have quite a few women here tonight, but in the beginning they didn't think women were sick enough to become alcoholics. They were women alcoholics there. They just hit it differently. And so they would gather with the families, happy in their release, constantly thinking, look at this, how they may present their discovery to some newcomer. And I've heard the newcomer is the most important person at every meeting. I don't know where that came from. But I think what it's important is how we present information to the new person. And that's what we're supposed to do, pass it on, right? Carry the message. And in addition to these casual get-togethers, it became customary to set apart one night a week for a meeting to be attended by anyone or everyone interested in the spiritual way of life. And it's interesting, so they had no requirements on who could go to the meeting. Now, we have the traditions, and those were passed in 1955, I think. And in early AA, each group had their own requirement for membership. And if you look at some of the requirements for some of the, in 1940s and 41, to some of the meetings, it's pretty humorous. But in the beginning, it was attended by anyone or everyone interested in the spiritual way of life. And that's really what we have here is, right, we're trying to learn how to live a spiritual life. And aside from fellowship and sociability, the prime object was to provide a time and place where new people might bring their problems. Now, I hear today a lot of people say, well, if you have a problem, go to a meeting and talk about it. I've been to a lot of those meetings. That's why we have sponsorship. You're supposed to talk about your problems with your sponsor. We don't want to hear about your dog and the ex-husband and this and that. That doesn't mean it's not important. But the problems they're talking about was their inability to keep from drinking, their inability to maintain relationships, their inability to live a life without alcohol. And so they would bring that problem, and they had a solution for that. Outsiders became interested. One man and his wife placed their large home at the disposal of this strangely assorted crowd. These were called the Williamses. They weren't alcoholics. They were in the Oxford group. And they donated their home for the AA meetings. And at first, the AA meetings and the Oxford group meetings were the same. They didn't distinguish. It wasn't until almost 1939 that the meeting broke away and wasn't called the Oxford Group meeting anymore. And the Oxford Group was a group of people around the country and around the world who were primarily Protestant, who were trying to practice fundamental Christianity at the time that Jesus died, how he would have lived. And so, and they had six steps, and they had the four absolutes, and so this became the Oxford group meeting where mainly alcoholics went. This couple has since become so fascinated that they have dedicated their home to the work. Many a distracted wife, notice it doesn't say just a wife, it's a distracted wife. Why is she distracted? Because her life's falling apart because her husband can't stop drinking. Has visited this house to find loving and understanding companionship among women who knew her problem. So in the beginning, it was very common for the wife to come and try to get someone to go and then help their husband. And so then the men would go and try to, and it's described in Working with Others how they went to the new alcoholic. And it also says in Working with Others, if the new man doesn't want what you want, don't forget the family. It's a spiritual life that will work for all. Who knew her problem, to hear from the lips of their husbands what had happened to them, so it gave her hope. And then she had hope for her husband. And then it says, to be advised how her own wayward mate, that's quite a way of describing us, might be hospitalized and approached when next he stumbled. So they would take him into the hospital a lot of times. They would go to the guy, and then they would take him to the hospital. In fact, the sponsor, and initially was, if the man didn't have any money, the sponsor would pay for the hospital bill. It was $50 to get detoxed and 5-day treatment for alcoholism in 1937 and 1938. I'm not paying for any of my sponsors' hospitalization. Just telling you right now, it's there's some things I'm glad it's changed. Many a man yet days from his hospital experience, they just get out of the hospital, look at this, has stepped over the threshold of that home into freedom. Now think about your first AA meeting. Those have been around a while. And you didn't know what was coming. but look what's happened to your life. And it says, Steve likes to say at 2100, it says over the door as you're leaving, it says, keep coming back. And why do we want people to come back? Because the people who come back usually are people who make it. People don't come back usually don't make it. And the people come back are willing to go to any length to recover. And so, stepped over the threshold into freedom from what? Freedom from the bondage of what? Of self. Bondage of alcohol. Bondage of our self-centeredness. Many an alcoholic who entered there came away with an answer. So what we're supposed to do, the purpose of the group was to provide an answer to the newcomer. We've gotten away from that somewhat in our meetings. There's so many meetings, but this meeting is designed to teach the big book so someone can come here and know that there is a place they can go with specific instructions on how to recover. And there are people in this room who've done it, and they can find each other, and then they can take them through the book. And I saw somebody upstairs working with somebody else, and I remember when they came in, and then that person worked with someone else, and that's how we carry the message. He succumbed to that gay crowd inside who laughed at their own misfortune. And do you know what the answer is? Can you tell the answer to a newcomer? Ask yourself that. Can you tell someone what was the answer for you? He succumbed to that gay crowd inside who laughed at their own misfortunes and understood his. We laugh at the new people. They say, oh, I got a DUI. And we're all laughing. Well, they don't think it's funny. They got to go to court 2 days. And because we understand, we laugh with them and not at them. Because we're laughing at our own misfortunes and understand his. Impressed by those who visited him at the hospital, look at this, he capitulated entirely. That's a great saying for surrendered. Capitulate entirely when later in an upper room of this house, he heard the story of some man whose experience closely tallied with his own. Now they had the upper room where they would take the new guy. And he wasn't allowed to go to the meeting till he went to the upper room. In the upper room, they sat you down and they told their experience, and then they asked them if you wanted what they had. And if you did, they made you get down on your knees and recite a third step prayer that Dr. Bob had written. And then after you did it, they kind of decide if you were serious enough to go to the meeting. And if not, I think they kept them up there. They were very serious because this is life and death. And so capitulated entirely. Have you given up completely? The expression on the faces of the women, that indefinable something in the eyes of the men, they could see that something had changed. When you see somebody celebrate 9 months or a year, 2 years, you can remember when they came in and you can see it in their faces. You can see the change. And it makes us feel good for them, but it makes us want to keep giving it away to others. Stimulating electric atmosphere of the place conspired to let him know that here was haven at last. This is a safe place, but it's only going to be effective if we're offering a solution. We're here at AA to offer a solution to people who are dying from alcoholism. That's why we're here. The very practical approach to his problems, so they had a very practical approach, the 12 steps, and what we've read in the book, the absence of intolerance of any kind. I don't know if we have that, but we try to be tolerant, right? The informality, we don't have a lot of rules. Genuine democracy, well, they didn't have business meetings. That was a joke. The uncanny understanding which these people had was irresistible. So think about that. This is what AA was like in the beginning. And I wrote here, it was a fellowship of the Spirit. It was a fellowship of people who were together seeking God, seeking to live a spiritual life. That was the purpose of the meetings. He and his wife would leave elated by the thought of what they could now do for some stricken acquaintance and his family. So they would come, they would see the solution, they would find the answer, and then their thoughts would turn to others they could help. Anybody remember where that is in the big book? Page 84? It says, we turn our thoughts to those we can help. When we have resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, or fear, We watch for it. We ask God at once to remove it. We discuss something with someone at once. We make amends right away. And we turn away from ourselves to those we can help. Now, these are self-centered people who are coming to the AA group, and then now they're turning around and how they can help others. And isn't that what happened to Bill W. in the hospital? Mm-hmm. He went in there, defeated, self-centered, and after he worked the steps and he had this spiritual experience, he thought of how he could give this away. They knew they had a host of new friends. It seemed they had known these strangers always. See, a lot of us, we don't have anything in common. Normally, we wouldn't meet, but here we all feel really close to each other. We feel a sense of camaraderie. It seemed they had known these strangers always. They had seen miracles, and one was to come to them. Now, if you see a miracle, then you believe it can happen to you, right? And then you're going to ask the miracle what they did so you can have it. And that's what this book is their testimony on what they did so that they could become a miracle and so you could become one too. Now, here's a great line. They had visioned the great reality, their loving and all-powerful creature. So a vision for you is that you'll have a vision of the great reality, a vision of God, your loving and all-powerful creator. You will have a vision, a relationship, a change in the way you see the world. And it starts with the vision of the great reality. It's a great word, great reality, because it's the truth. And when we see the truth, we're seeing God. So a vision for you could be a vision of the great, we hope that you'll have a vision of the great reality. And that's a spiritual awakening. And I've read this a million times and never saw that before till today. Now this house will hardly accommodate its weekly visitors, for they number 60 or 80 as a rule, and I think we probably have 30 or 40 people here tonight. Alcoholics are being attracted from far and near. This is Akron, Ohio, for those who didn't know. From surrounding towns, families drive long distances to be present. A community 30 miles away has 15 fellows of AA. That was Cleveland, Ohio. Being a large place, we think that someday its fellowship will number many hundreds. I can't imagine. I think there are hundreds of meetings in Cleveland now. Now, the original, in Cleveland, they called the meeting AA after the book was put out. They didn't call themselves AA till the book was put out. And then they took the name of the book, which is Alcoholics Anonymous, by the way. It's not the big book. And they gave that name to the fellowship. So the fellowship took its name from the book, which is a testimony of how to find the treasure God, and this is a treasure map. But life among AA is more than attending gatherings and visiting hospitals, cleaning up old scrapes, helping to settle family differences, explaining the disinherited son to his irate parents, lending money and securing jobs for each other when justified. Notice, that doesn't mean you're supposed to, so don't call me tonight for money. Market's down, so you're not getting any anyway. Lending money and securing jobs for each other when justified. These are everyday occurrences. They were in the battle lines. They got to know the new person. It was a small, close-knit community. And that really helps keep someone sober when they're in this that type of community, because they want to, they keep doing the deal together. I like this. No one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcome cordially. There's a hyphen here. If he means business. And remember, Dr. Bob would ask the new person, are you done for once and all? Are you done? And if they were done once and for all, they didn't work with them. And are you done for once and all? If you're new, ask yourself, are you done once and for all? Are you completely defeated? Have you capitulated entirely? And nobody's discredited or sunk too low to be welcomed back. What does cordially say? Look it up.
Sincerely, deeply felt.
And we feel that way when we see people we haven't seen for a while. We give them a hug. We're glad to see them. And it's always good when you see somebody come back they haven't seen for a while. It doesn't mean they haven't been okay, but it always makes me feel better. I see somebody used to come all the time, and then you don't see them for a while, and then they come back. Social distinctions, petty rivalries, and jealousies. We don't have that anymore. These are laughed out of countenance. That may be why we have so many meetings, because of the petty rivalries and jealousies. I'm not going to meeting with that one, so I'm going to my own meeting and this and that. And I'm in a mood tonight. These are laughed out of countenance. So we don't really want to get involved in any of that. We just have one focus, right? How we could serve God, being loving, kind, and tolerant, and patient. Being wrecked in the same vessel, that comes from page 17, remember? We have a common peril. Everybody in this room has a common peril. We were on the Titanic and we went into the ice because we were all dying of alcoholism. Everybody here not an alcoholic? We were all dying of alcoholism. We all had the same common peril. We're in the water. And then a boat came along and pulled us into the boat, and we've all got to shore. But it says the common peril of us just being alcoholics together, that is not enough to keep us sober, right? It says we have to have the power of what? The solution. The great fact, the great news of this book is that we have a common solution on which we can all agree. So the common peril is to bring us here where we have the common solution. That's why we study the big book here. So we are wrecked in the same vessel and then being restored and reunited under one God. So that's what we're supposed to do here. We're all alcoholics. We're supposed to be restored. Our lives are to be restored in proper order and united under one God. And we're supposed to all be united under one God in here because the God is our group conscience, remember? Is our group conscious is God. He's going to make our decisions, and we're being restored, united under one God with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others. So we're trying not to be self-centered anymore. We're trying to think of what we can do for others. The things which matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. Is that true for you? Is any of this true for you? The things that we used to worry about, we can see now how insignificant they are. Right? And our focus should be what? What must we carry every day?
God's love.
A vision of God's will in all our activities. His will, not mine, be done. And how do we learn how to understand and get God's vision for us? We learn it by inventorying and prayer and meditation, steps 10 and 11. And 11 is how we improve our knowledge of God's will for us. But in the beginning, we know what God's will for us is, not to drink and to change our personalities, right? Under only slightly different conditions, the same thing is taking place in many eastern cities. In one of these, there's a well-known hospital for the treatment of the alcoholic and drug addiction. Are there any addicts in the room? We're all addicts. We all have alcoholic addiction. Years ago, there used to be a big difference because the real alcoholics didn't want the addicts to come in their rooms. And I remember about 15 years ago, some guy came, drove 60 miles to get a year coin. He was an addict. And this lady carried on that it's a closed meeting. And it was at Mandino's. And it was really one of the worst things I've witnessed in my time in recovery. And so she made the guy leave and carried on. But we all are addicts. We're addicted. In fact, I'm addicted to anything that will change how I feel. And so if Tylenol made me feel different, I'd be taking a lot of Tylenol, but it doesn't. But anything that changes my perception of reality is very dangerous for me. I don't know about for you. But it's very dangerous for me. And as soon as my reality changes, I'll say, wow, get me another one. And anybody else like that? So we have to be very careful. And because why? Once it's in our systems, we want more, right? 6 years ago, one of our number was a patient there. That was Bill W. This is the town's hospital in New York. Many of us have felt for the first time, I love this, the presence and power of God within its walls. Have you felt this? Have you felt the presence and power of God at some time initially in your recovery? Do you remember? I felt it when I surrendered and got down on my knees and gave up. I just felt different. Anybody else have that experience? And once you have it, you want to keep it. We are greatly indebted to the doctor in attendance there, for he, although it might prejudice his own work, has told us of his belief in ours. Now, why would it prejudice his own work? Well, because he had no solution for alcohol. A lot of people go to treatment, and I'm not saying there's anything good or bad, but I ask them what they're going to learn in treatment that's going to keep them from taking the first drink. And they usually tell me triggers, self-knowledge, fear, learn how to deal with stress, but we know none of that will work. Now, I think it's very good, treatment is very good, because it gets people initial start. But the real treatment for alcoholism is in these 164 pages that I know of. Now, if you have another way to treat alcoholism, that's fine. But this is the treatment that worked for me, and it's worked with others. And every few days, this doctor suggests our approach to one of his patients. Understanding our work, he can do this with an eye, look at this, to selecting those who are willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis. So how does the doctor decide those who are not willing and able to recover on a spiritual basis? They're people whose minds are blocked. They can't see the truth about their situation. They think it's just not that bad. And it says, we read it tonight, it's in How It Works. Anybody remember? It says, there are those who cannot and will not do this simple program. Those who are what? Constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. I heard that for a lot of years, and then I realized all it really says is that they can't see the truth about their situation. They can't see the hopelessness and futility of their life, so they can't give up. They still have a plan. They're willing to listen to information, but they're going to process it, and then they're going to decide what's going to work. And they can't see that it's hopeless and futile in their own. That's why I love that word, capitulated entirely. Many of us former patients go there to help. Then in this eastern city, there are informal meetings such as we have described to you, where you can see scores of members. It says these are the same fast friendships, there's the same helpfulness to one another as you find among our Western friends. It says, someday we hope that every alcoholic who journeys will find the fellowship of AA at its destination. Now, there were only three groups when they wrote this book, and maybe 100 people sober. So what do they mean, find a fellowship of AA? They're not talking about meetings. They're talking about find a place where people are seeking spiritual way of life together. And so to be a fellow in a society means that you've passed a certain test. I had several fellowships because I took specialty boards and took these tests. And if you didn't get past the test, you didn't become a fellow. And I think to become a fellow of AA, I think it's suggested that you're working the steps, that you have a relationship with God. And that, because we're going to read the last words in this book, is that we will join you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And so that's the fellowship that we seek. To some extent, this is already true. And I wrote, it's a group of people sharing the same goal, the same purpose. And he talks about clusters are forming all over the world. It says, thus we grow, and so can you, though you be one man with this book in your hand. Now, this book was a 12 step to the world. This book is a testimony. That's why we study it. This is what they did. If you want what we have, this is what they did. It says, follow these instructions, you will not fail. And it says, so if you took this book, they believed that you could get this book, you would read it, be able to do what's in it, and then you would carry the message. We believe in hope. They believed in hope. It contains all you will need to begin. Now, I think it's true. Everything you need is in here, but there is a warning. It's hard to read alone. It's like reading the Bible alone, without any knowledge. And so There were people in AA who had read who had done this, who read the book and studied it, and they studied it together. And so I think the book has all you need, but it's good to read it with someone else. And I think that's what sponsorship in my mind is all about, is helping someone go through this book, The Path to Recovery. And remember, it's all you will need to begin. It's not the end. It's a continuous program of recovery. It says, we know what you are thinking. You're saying to yourself, I'm jittery alone. Anybody jittery and alone at any point? I couldn't do that, but you can. You forget that you have just now tapped a source of power much greater than yourself. That's what they're talking about, a spiritual awakening. You begin to have a sense of the power of God within you that you can tap. To duplicate with such backing what we have accomplished is only a matter of willingness, patience, and labor. So are you willing and are you patient, and are you going to put the work in? So there's good stuff in here, very powerful stuff. And then next week we're going to finish the last two pages, and every time I read page 164, doesn't matter how many times I've read it, I get emotional. It's very powerful. So we'll stop there. I hope the new people got something out of it, and we'll open it up. Thank you.
Let's do it. I'm an alcoholic.